One, two, three, four. Kvar, already we spoke about Dine Aninut. I have mentioned before that a person is called Onen from the time that the person passed away till the time of the burial. It's called Onen, and there is different laws about Onen and Avel. Avel called after the burial. As I have mentioned before, Onen is not allowed to eat meat or drink wine. There are other things that Avel is forbidden. There is a big mahloket among the Rishonim. He is mutar, the Avel is mutar, the Onen, during the Aninut or not. Therefore, a person should try to avoid doing the things that he is forbidden to do during Avelut. However, if there is a very, very urgent need, they can rely on the poskim that they permit, which including Harambam also, that permits to do a number of things that they are not allowed to do in Avelut. Definitely, they all agree that the shoes he may wear till the time of the Avelut, which is after the burial. Of course, there are many, many laws about the Levaya itself. The Levaya, should a person be melave et amet, which means escorting the one who passed away, at least four amot, if he sees some Levaya, he should walk about 8 feet in order to have kavod hamet. Of course, sometimes the avilut begins right away after the burial. Sometimes it is even before. Depend where a person is being buried. If the one that being buried moved, they move him from one city to another to be buried in a different city, and some people stay in the city that he passed away, therefore they will start the avilut the minute they take already the body away to go to a different city. However, the people that they go away with the person that passed away, they have to wait not to start the avilut till after the burial. And in case they come back from the city that they were buried, that the man was buried, coming back to the original place to join the other relatives, according to the halacha, it depends. If there is gedol habayit in the house that didn't go to the burial place, they all join him and they finish the avilut with him, even if their burial took place after they started the avilut, a day or two, and so on. But the custom in our community to go according to the Sifter Kohen, that they permit even if Gedol HaBayit went and they come back, that they finished the avilut together with the people who started the avilut earlier. It is a great mitzvah to make a eulogy on a person that passed away. Of course, there is also restrictions not to exaggerate and in praising the person and things that he wasn't really qualified to be praised with, because really it's bad for the one who is eulogizing and for the one who passed away. Only Shulchan Aruch said they can add a little in order to teach and give people musar about life altogether. Also, when we come to the Kri'ah, I said that the custom in our community to make the Kri'ah after the burial, even though in the Shulchan Aruch it's written that the Kri'ah, the tearing of the garment, should be done right away when they hear that a person passed away, but the custom is not so. Of course, that we should continue to do as the custom is. Now, there are some people that they cannot be mourned. For example, the person who commits suicide, they don't mourn him. There are special laws about such a person, and therefore they should refer to the rabbi that will tell them exactly how to conduct themselves. There is also something to know, that a person should not have any benefit from the person who passed away or from his clothing that he has on him during the time that they take him to be buried. There are certain things that a person should not do, the Torah said, that lo yikrehu kocha b'rosham ufad zekanam lo yigalehu b'vsaram lo yistatu saratet, which means a person should not overdoing it, scratching himself when he hears some relative passed away, to be very careful not to overdo all these things. Of course, they should dress the mat with tachrichin, the clothing that known that they do dress the mat with the dead. However, they should not use the very, very precious things on the mat. The custom is to use linen, because according to the Kabbalah, the linen is the best thing for the mat. There is a halakha that they should not leave the mat overnight. They should bury him on the same day that he passed away. However, if they leave him for his own respect, that means in order there will be more people to the funeral, for some reason, that for the respect of the mat, they are permitted. There are some people, if they are busy with the mat, they are occupied in taking care of the mat. They are relieved from many mitzvot that they're supposed to do, because we have halakha, ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur na mitzvah. If a person is occupied doing some mitzvah, he doesn't have the obligation of doing another mitzvah. He's relieved from that mitzvah. And in any case, whenever there is something like this, they should refer to the rabbi to ask him if they should stop doing that special duty towards the mat or not, when there is another mitzvah to fulfill. For example, they have to pray, they have to read Shema, to put tefillin, and so on. As I said, the levaya is very important. Of course, there is a difference between one to another. That means who is the one that passed away, if he is a great man, that a person of Torah, a scholar or not, and there is more of a duty for a person who is a scholar. Now, if a scholar passed away, greater mit hacham, they are permitted to put him in the synagogue. But a common man, this is not allowed to make the eulogy and gather over there in the synagogue to do it for the person who passed away. However, I know it's very difficult to speak that in our community they do use the synagogue, and I've tried in the past to change this policy and unsuccessful in it. People want, after they bury the person, they want to move him from his burial place to take him to another place. If they make condition before they bury him, that they are burying him temporarily, and then they want to move him to bury him somewhere else, is permitted. However, if they didn't make condition before the burial, they should not move him from one grave to another, unless there is a sufficient reason to move him. For example, if they move him from outside of Eretz Israel to Eretz Israel, and if they move him from a place that he is being buried among goyim then we would be permitted to move him to an area of Jewish cemetery. Of course, they must understand that the place that a person is being buried, which means the grave, cannot be used for anything else, only for that purpose. A person should not walk into a cemetery with tzitzit and tefillin, because this is what we call lo'eg larash. That means, since those who are there in the cemetery are not able to fulfill mitzvot, and a person comes to fulfill a mitzvah over there, this is like belittling those who are there in the cemetery. A person should walk into the cemetery in a respectable way and leave in a respectable way. The Kohen is not allowed to become tameh, that means not allowed to touch any dead body or even be in the same place which is under a shoulder together with the dead body, even if the room is very, very large, even a mile away. As long as there is a cover that above the person who is there and the dead, the Kohen is not allowed to be there. Because that's what we're called, even though that we all are considered Tameim today, they say, En Mosif Tum'a al Tum'ato. He should not add more impurity to himself. Of course, the Kohen is a mitzvah for him to become impure if he is mourning the very, very immediate relatives that we suppose to mourn him. To be very careful with this, the Kohanim, they must be very careful with this Tum'ah, which called Tum'at Ohel, not to be Tameim. What exactly, when they are allowed to be, when not, again refer to a rabbi to tell you. All these laws that I say about Kohanim, not to become Tameim, that's only for the male, not for the female. Because I saw that were many mistaken to think that this law applies to the women too. It's not so. The Kohen is becoming tameh to the relatives, except if his sister was married already, he does not become tameh, even though he mit abel, that means he has avilut on her, but he is not allowed to be tameh for her. Of course, a person that passes away, if he is over 30 days, they should mourn him. But in 30 days, there is no avilut. There is mitzvah to fulfill Nihum Avelim. When a person becomes avel, that people go to him to give him consolation. Of course, during the time of the Gemara was Nihum Avelim, much different from today. However, it is a mitzvah to make Nihum Avelim, as we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself came and he made Nihum Avelim, consoling the person who is avel at the time of the Avilut, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu came at the time that Abraham died to make Mitzvat Nihum Avinim for Yitzhak. The meal, the first meal that they eat after the Kivura, the burial of the dead, should be brought from outside, that the neighbors or friends, they should make sure that the first Saudah, that's called Saudat Havra'ah, the first meal, not to have it from the person himself, but rather duty of the neighbors and friends. Bar Minan, there is a curse if people do not do it, to make sure that the Sa'uda will come from outside for the Avir. When they say Beracha, Berkat Amazon, in the house of the Avir, there is a special thing to add after the third Berakha, or in the third Berakha of Bnei Yerushalayim. And consult the Siddur, and you see exactly the Nosach of Birkat HaMazon. If there is Zimun, they should add in the Zimun, Nevarech Menachem Avelim, Sheachal Meshelo. Same thing, those who answer, they say, Baruch Menachem Avelim, Sheachal Meshelo. Of course, when they come to give Saudat Abraha to the Avel, the custom is that we bring bread and hard-boiled eggs. There is a reason why hard-boiled eggs, even though in the Torah we find that they used to give cooked lentil, and by the same idea of the lentil, there is also in the egg. They said the egg is round, there is no opening, to show you that the Aver has no possibility to open his mouth and talk, and therefore they bring the hard-boiled egg. We have already mentioned that there are things that the Aver is not allowed to do. And the things that he cannot do, of course, not washing, not having shoes on, not to apply anything, any ointment on him, any kind of cream. All these things are, of course, not washing of clothes, and they learned it from Pesukim, and a person should be very careful to follow the laws that he is permitted and he is not permitted. Even Torah, that there is a big mitzvah to learn Torah, they say a person should not read Torah during the time of mourning. Only things that they concern mourning or something of aggravating the person, he can read. For example, he can read Alachot Avilut, he can read certain perakim in Yom, certain perakim in Yom Yad that have to do with the suffering of Am Yisrael. This is what he is permitted to read, because the Torah brings joy to the person that he reads, and he is not supposed to be in such a condition of joy and happiness. The Torah is called Pikudei Hashem Isharim Mesamehelev. Of course, the person will come and say, I put the tefillin, also I feel happy. Now, the tefillin, really, there is no, that was not given to us for joy and happiness. It is only to remind us, Yetziat Mitzrayim, and so on. Only we said already that the tefillin is not allowed to be put on the first day of the death and the burial. Of course, it's not allowed to do business, no work. And if a person has a business, his business must be closed for those 7 days of the morning till the seventh in the morning, after sunrise, that for a little while, and it's called Miktzat Hayom Kechulo. It's considered like he's already complete 7 days. However, if a person has a partner, already they permitted them to open the store after 3 days, which means the first 3 days will be forbidden. Now, when we say first 3 days, the question is the third day has to be complete or even part of it, the way we say about the 7 days. This is a matter of opinion. Some, they say, must be complete 3 days. Some they say Miktzat Hayom Kechulo. Therefore, if there is a great loss, if he will close on the third day, we permit him to open the store on the third day, if they're not he himself, that the store will be open and others do the work. If the loss is not so great, a person should not open the store. So till complete 3 days. Of course, I have noticed that some people heard that they can, during the time after the person passing away, they will sell their business to somebody else and they will open it while he is aware. this is the wrong approach according to our way, and they should not. Unless a person is selling the business before the person passed away, is critically ill, critically sick, then it will be permitted. If we were selling it legally to somebody else, they will open the business during the time of the avilut. Otherwise, it should not be done during the time of anilut. As I said before, they should not wash, not in hot water, not in cold water, during the time of 7 days. However, if he wants to wash his hands and with hot water and so on, it's better not to use only cold water. If he got dirty, his hands got dirty, and that he would be permitted to remove the dirt even by washing it. There are some people that they make it much, much more strict. We do not have to follow those customs of others. Of course, a person should not take any haircut or any shave for the 30 days from the time of the kibbutz, the burial. That means if a man passed away one day and they bury him another day, or after 2 days, or after 3 days, from the time of the burial, 30 days, should not take a haircut or shave. When I say 30 days, depend what relatives. If his relatives are not the parents, the other immediate relatives, on the 30th itself, he could already take a haircut and shave. But parents, he should wait till the 31st. It's preferable that someone else will tell them to go and take a haircut and shave. Of course, I've noticed that there is a custom that someone takes the person to the barber and to give him a haircut. This is not necessary. As long as you tell him and insist that he should go, it's sufficient. Perhaps the custom that they take him came because they say that people have to tell him. That's why it became a custom that they take the person to the barber. As I said, they should not put shoes that made out of leather, the way we do on Kippur. Owning shoes that made out of leather is forbidden. But if it's not leather, if it is wooden or canvas, any kind of cloth is not forbidden. Of course, no closeness between husband and wife during the time of the avilut. No matter what, if the husband is avil or the wife is avila, she is mourning, he should not be with his wife during the time of the avilut. I'm not saying that other things is forbidden also. I say only closeness between husband and wife, but touching each other and so on, this is not forbidden. It is a little bit with regret that I have to say this. I don't like what's happening in our community during the time of the avilut. It becomes many times the gathering and the joke and laugh. This is not the way of our religion. According to our religion, people must be very, very sincere. They don't talk too much in the house of the avil. Of course, they sit down to read Torah in order to elevate the neshama of the one who passed away. More so when they bring some things, some food and everything, to be very careful that they offer it to people that they will say the berachot. This is the purpose why they bring the food, that they should say berachot in order to elevate the neshama of the one who passed away. As I said, they should not wash clothes or iron. All these things during the 7 days is forbidden. But after the 7 days, after the period of the mourning, will be permitted. When I say no washing, not only clothes that he wears, but clothes that are also in the house, that he put bedding and so on. They should see to it not to wash them on this week. If a person comes and says, I want to wash them, not in order to wear them during the avilut, during the morning, but I want to wear them after, also is not allowed. Ashkenazim are much, much more strict about this, that we don't do exactly what they do. Therefore, a person should not follow whatever, because Ashkenazim doing it, he wants to do it. We'll continue with our customs. The mourner is not allowed to join any place that there is joy and happiness as places of wedding, and you should not go over there during the time of the ceremony, during the time of the wedding, that they are dancing and singing. However, I don't know that there is a custom in our community that sometimes they go to the ceremony, during the party they stay outside. Staying outside during the party, perhaps there is something to rely on. But question of joining the time of the ceremony with the music, with everything, perhaps will be forbidden. Sometimes there are some relatives that they permit them to do during the 7 days, if it is especially after 3 days, if a father or groom has to march with him, parents who are going to march with the groom would be a very, very aggravated the groom if the father is not with him or the mother. Perhaps there is a way to permit them, but not any relatives to go with. Sometimes it's okay, sometimes not. Of course, if he goes to Sevudat Mitzvah, but if there is no dancing music, perhaps will be permitted, but not all the way to permit them to go to enjoy the party. Now, of course, the aver is not getting married. You should avoid it the first 30 days after the passing away of his relatives, even without any party, even without a meal. Because the very fact that he is getting married, this is a very, very great joy. And therefore, should not do it within the first 30 days. After 30 days, sometimes it's permitted, sometimes not, to consult with a rabbi. Sometimes a person has to wait till after 3 holidays will pass, then it will be permitted, sometimes not. Depends on the condition, and the rabbi will decide if it is permitted or not. As I said before, there is sometimes part of the day we consider it as the whole day. Now, it is a custom, and especially we do it in our community and in Eretz Israel, that sons do not follow the Levaya. I have mentioned it before. They don't follow the body of the father or mother. They follow the Levaya when they escort the father to the cemetery. The sons should not go to the cemetery in such a case. But the mother, they may go. And this is the custom, and they should adhere to this ruling that was done already in the past by the rabbis of the community, not to change it. Of course, there are some Sephardim that they permitted. According to the Kabbalah, according to the Zohar, is a very, very much suffering there is to the neshama if the children, the sons, come after the father during the time of the Levaya. Of course, if a person was mourning, and right after he started mourning, a day or two or three, comes a holiday, like Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, any one of the holidays, the holidays stopping him from continuing his mourning is considered even one day like already 7 days. And then he continues with the 7 days of the holidays, if it is Pesach, which or in Chusar it's 8 days, on Shavuot, one day or two, depends where it is. And then it will continue after Pesach. But the Pesach here there is 7 days, and it will continue more. Shavuot is considered like 7 days, even though it is one day. And then they count the days. However, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if for parents, still they have to count 30 days complete, that they would not be able to take a haircut or shave. There are some rabbis in our time that make it a little bit easier, but this is not the way we practice. For parents, they have to wait 30 days. Now, of course, there are many, many laws concerning the holidays, how to figure the days, how much, how many days they have to wait for other relatives besides parents. And Shabbat, there is no avilut. When Shabbat comes in the middle of the days of the avilut, there is no avilut in public, but there is avilut, what we call betzina'ah, things that not in public, he should continue to restrict himself. For example, we said that during the 7 days he should not be with his wife. This is refers also during the Shabbat. A person is not to learn Torah, we say. Come Shabbat, he sits with the people. They're all reading in line, one after another. And he sits there. If he doesn't read, he's already called avilut in public. That means publicizing it. And he should try to read with them. But if he can do it without being noticed that he's not reading because of avilut, and all of a sudden he gets up to go, something to do, drinking water or so on, this won't be a bad idea. And as long as he does not make it very, very peculiar that to see that he is mourning the person on Shabbat. There are certain things that a person is permitted, even though we said that he should not read Torah, for example. And he wants to study the Torah in order, because he's a reader and so on. Perhaps will be permitted for him to study it. A person should try to avoid himself from going to the cemetery unless he goes for certain need, for to escort somebody that they bury him, or to go to visit the grave of father or mother, but should not go for no reason. If there is no reason, he should not go to the cemetery. If a person does not see the cemetery for 30 days, he's supposed to say a special beracha. The beracha begins after Baruch Atah Hashem. He says, Asher yatzar etchem badin, zan etchem badin, v'chelkel etchem badin. You see, the ending with mechaye ha'metim. Special beracha that should follow the book, that there is the beracha over there, and say it when he visits the cemetery. However, if within 30 days he went second time, he doesn't say the beracha again. And this beracha, even if he sees it during days of holidays, Shabbat, if he was there, he says the beracha. There is a custom to be very careful to put matzevah over the burial place, a sign. This is out of respect to the person who passed away. Some people, sometimes they put flowers and so better, of course, to avoid themselves from these things. I wouldn't say that this is forbidden, because some they say, oh, this is a terrible thing. You are following the ways of the Goyim. Now, I wouldn't say that this already included by this din that you follow the way of the Goyim. But, of course, better to avoid ourselves with it. Same thing, there is a custom, many people, that they wear black, and they put black tie or black dress. All this, better not to, but is not forbidden. If they have the custom to do it, we can't say that this is wrong. In the old times, they were very particular not to take the person in chariots or any kind of carrying the person who died to take him to the cemetery. They used to take him only by carrying him by other people, human beings, that they carry him there. Of course, there is no halakha to forbid people from taking him by bus, car, or chariot, which is today, that will live far away, of course, will be permitted to take him with any kind of a car. It is advisable that they shouldn't put the date in English on the monument, only the Hebrew. Even though this is not forbidden, advisable. However, I know that in our community it's very difficult to follow this thing because they insist to put the date in English because they want to know exactly about when is the time that comes off, the anniversary, the yahrzeit, in order to observe what they're supposed to do for him, the Kaddish and the reading. And therefore, as I said, if there is no way, they should permit them to do so. Now, of course, I said already that for a little child, there is no avilut. They have to be careful. The prayers that I pray in the house of the mourner, there is a mitzvah to pray over there, the place that he passed away, and to have a minyan. If there is no possibility to have a minyan, then the avanim, even though we tell them not to walk out of the house, in such a case they can go to the synagogue in order to pray in public and say Kaddish. There is a custom, and based on what Rav Hida said, the mourner himself should not be a hazan. There are some they permit it. It's better that he should not pray. Unless there is nobody else to pray, then he will be permitted. But if there is somebody else to pray, he should not pray himself. Only if there is holidays and he's hazan and he come to pray, of course, if he's a permanent hazan in the synagogue, he is allowed to pray. There is one beracha that we say when people would not have to walk, they are not allowed to walk. We don't say beracha and berachot ha-shachar sha'asa li kol tzoki. But the mourner does say sha'asa li kol tzoki. Of course, the part of Torah that there is in the prayers, the mourners can say them. But some places, there is a custom that he doesn't say Vayosha, he, the Avel himself, because Shira over there. However, if there is a custom, such a custom, they should continue. But our custom, that the Avel does say also the Shirat Hayam. The custom in our community that they make Kohanim in the house of the Avel. But the Avel himself, the mourner himself, he does not say Kohanim. And he walks out of the room. But if he didn't walk out and they said Kohanim, there is two different opinions. Some they say he may go to say Kohanim, some they say he shouldn't. But it's better to make sure that he walks out of the house before the Kohanim. Of course, there is no Bidui, no Nefilat Apayim, so he say Yehishem when they are in the house of the Avel. If a person is not in the house of the mourner, and the mourner himself goes to the shul to pray over there and say Kaddish, still the people of the synagogue, they say Vidui and Nefilat Apayim. They don't say Yishem. Only he himself, the Avel, doesn't say Vidui and Nefilat Apayim. He says Yishem. But if the people come to the shul because of the Avel, the way we do, we make the reading, a special Rayat in the synagogue, and the people gather because of the Avel, this considered they come for the Avel, and therefore they don't say we do an Afilat Apayim. They will say Yehishem. It is a custom. Some people, they have a custom that they bring Sefer Torah to the house of the mourner. Some, they object. Some of the poskim, they say it's not proper to bring Sefer Torah. Some, they permit it. It's better to avoid it. And some, they do, on the days that is Monday and Thursday, when they go to the house of mourners, they make sure in order to be able to hear the reading of the Torah, they go after that to the synagogue and listen to the reading of the Torah with one of the minyanim. It is a custom that on Rosh Chodesh we say Hallel in the house of the mourners. The mourner himself doesn't say the Hallel. Sometimes we tell him to go to a different room. Or sometimes even the people go to a different room to say not to be together with the Avel. But it's better if the people stay and say the Hallel, the Avel will try to go to another room. But however, even if he didn't go to the other room, he should not say the Hallel. If a person comes on the seventh day of his Avelut to the shul and it is Rosh Chodesh, it's better that the Hazan, the other one, that will say the Psukim before the Hallel to the mourner, that they already let him finish the Avelut, and then he will be able to say the Hallel together with them. Some they say that a mourner in Hanukkah, he should say Hallel, not like Rosh Chodesh. Some places they pray even on Shabbat, Friday night, in the house of the mourners. The question is, should he say all the prayer complete or not? There is some places, most places, they don't say Birkat Ma'an Sheva in the house of the mourner, if they pray in his house Friday night. But there are some places, like in Yerushalayim, that they do say the Birkat Ma'an Sheva. Some people, they think, if they pray in the shul, if the Avel is in the shul, then Menhad should not say, because they don't say it in the house of the mourner. But it's wrong. They should say it because, as we said once, that a person should not show Avelut in public on Shabbat. It is a custom to light candles in the house of the mourners for Ilui Neshama. In the house of the mourners, there is always candles that go on. We believe that this brings Nahatuah to the Neshama, of the person who passed away. It is a custom to cover the mirrors in the house. Why? Depend on the reason. That some, they say the reason is because you are not allowed to pray in front of a mirror, because when you bend in Amida, you are bending to your reflections, which is in a mirror. According to this reason, would not be forbidden to leave mirror were not covered in different places, only in the east side, that you pray to that direction. However, there is another reason, because it's not allowed for everyone to purify himself in the mirror for what? That they look to apply all the things to groom himself, if he's a man or woman. And because of that, they close the mirror. According to this reason, means any mirror would be not good to leave it open. Therefore, a person must understand that to do his best to cover the mirrors, but there is no issue to leave them open in the...